number two with Christian Ila Hadland and the rugged landscape of Bruckner's romantic Fourth Symphony. I'm Andrew McGregor. Join me for the Oslo Philharmonic's Proms starting Monday evening at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. If you've recently tuned in, a very warm welcome to you from me, Jonathan Swain. It's 1 o'clock, just gone, and in a couple of minutes, today's early music show. First, though, a summary of the news. The Russian President Vladimir Putin has said it would be utter nonsense for the Syrian government to have used chemical weapons when it was winning the war, in a strongly worded response to America's announcement that it was considering a limited military attack on President Assad's forces. Mr. Putin insisted that the US should present its evidence to the UN Security Council. He added that President Obama, as a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, should consider the potential victims of an American attack. An Indian teenager has been convicted of taking part in the gang rape and murder of a student on a bus in Delhi last December and sentenced to 3 years in a young offenders institution. The trial of four men who were also accused of the crime is continuing. The case provoked outrage across India. A British man has been arrested on Spain's Costa Brava on suspicion of killing his father. The 45-year-old man is accused of attacking his 69-year-old father at a campsite in the town of Lestartit. The South African government has said the former president, Nelson Mandela, remains in hospital, contradicting earlier reports that he'd been taken to his home in Johannesburg. Mr. Mandela, who's 95, has spent nearly 3 months in hospital with a lung infection. A woman has appeared in court charged with the murder of an 8-year-old girl. The child's body was found in a flat in Chadwell Heath in East London on Thursday. The woman was remanded in custody by Barkingside Magistrates Court. Pope Francis has named an Italian Archbishop, Pietro Parolin, as his new Secretary of State, the most important figure in the Vatican after the Pope himself. Mr. Parolin, currently the envoy to Venezuela, will replace Tarcisio Bertone, whose 7-year tenure has been mired in controversy. And finally, the weather. Much of southern Britain will have a dry afternoon with good sunny spells, quite windy further north with scattered showers, blustery and locally heavy in the far northwest, and generally feeling fresher. Temperatures reaching 20 degrees Celsius in London and 16 in Belfast. And that's the news and the weather, with the time coming up to 1:03. Now on Radio 3, today's early music show with Lucy Skeeping.
In amongst the general buzz, the stand-up comedy and the large-scale concerts that seem to epitomise the Edinburgh Festival these days, we found a little jewel of a recital which took place at St Cecilia's Hall, now part of the city's university. The oldest purpose-built concert hall in Scotland, in fact, the second oldest in Britain. St Cecilia's was built at the end of the 18th century, its intimate size and unique oval shape being typical of recital rooms of the Georgian period. And appropriately, it's also home to a museum of some 50 of the world's most important and best preserved early keyboard instruments. Harpsichords, virginals, spinets, organs and fortepianos are all on display, many of them in good working order. And in today's programme, we're going to hear some of them played by the French harpsichordist Christophe Rousset. Of course, like so many early musicians, much of his career is spent playing on modern reproductions of early instruments. And although these can be beautifully constructed, faithful copies of the originals, there's no doubt there's something special about getting your hands on the real thing, and particularly with music that comes from almost exactly the same period. So what brought Rousset to the idea of giving a concert on the instruments in St Cecilia's Museum?
Well, actually, I was asked to do that, and I was very honoured to accept. It's a privilege to play on original instruments. So there are quite a few in this collection, and I had the chance to choose which one I would play. So I've chosen 5 instruments, 2 Italian ones, 1 English, and 1 French, and 1 kind of German. We don't know exactly where from it comes, but it's supposed to be Saxon making. The collection is, I mean, the level is very high, and it's not that often that you can find in a museum so many playable instruments. So there are almost all of them in working conditions. So you have just to imagine for such concerts what kind of repertoire fits better for every single harpsichord and try to give the best image of sound and repertoire related to the instrument.
Christophe Rousset. And in this, the second of the two concerts he gave at the museum, he plays two of those historic instruments, beginning with one of his personal favourites, an English harpsichord made in 1709 by Thomas Barton. The concert began with a suite by Johann Jakob Froberger, which dates from the mid-1600s. There are three dance movements, a jig, a courant and a saraband, but it starts in rather more sombre mood with a lamento that commemorates Ferdinand IV, the heir to the imperial throne, who died of smallpox at the age of just 21. It's intense and heartfelt music, and it ends with a rising C major scale that covers almost the entire range of the harpsichord and represents Ferdinand's ascent to heaven. But it's not only portrayed in sound, but on the score itself, where, just above the very highest notes, Froberger has drawn a little picture of a cloud of angels. Stately Saraband, ending suite number 12 in C by Johann Jakob Froberger, played there on an original 18th century harpsichord made by Thomas Barton. It was the opening piece of the concert given last week by Christophe Rousset at St. Cecilia's Hall in Edinburgh, where he performed on some of the historic instruments housed in the hall's museum. And we hear him play that same instrument again next, this time in a suite by the French composer Louis Couperin. Born near Paris in the 1620s, Couperin came from a long dynasty of musicians. He entered royal service as a young man, and although he died at just 35, he left us a huge amount of keyboard suites. series of popular dances, usually preceded by a prelude, which, by contrast, is in a much freer style. In fact, in the manuscript, these preludes don't have any bar lines or indications of note values at all, which is both challenging and liberating for an accomplished performer like Rousset. So here he is with The Suite in D by Louis Couperin.
Thank you.
Louis Couperin's D minor suite, performed by Christophe Rousset on an original early 18th century harpsichord made by Thomas Barton. One of the highlights of the recital Rousset gave last week at St. Cecilia's Hall in Edinburgh. Both the Barton instrument and the French harpsichord that we're going to hear later are part of the collection of early keyboards housed in the museum at St. Cecilia's Hall. Rousset's aim was to match each piece as far as possible with the appropriate instrument, and in both his solo Edinburgh concerts, he moved from one to another during the performance. Of course, this can be tricky because the width of the keys, the size, and even the range can vary considerably from instrument to instrument. So did he have enough chance to play them all well in advance, to get the feel of each instrument, to find the best way to make them speak?
Yes, I had 2 days of rehearsals just by myself in the museum on the instruments. And, you know, it's not easy as a harpsichordist anyway to play always a different instrument and get used to a new instrument because it's very rarely your own instrument in concert. So you have to adapt always and try to find the voice, the real voice of the instrument, and try to make this voice yours. So it's not that easy. So sometimes it's very obvious and it gets very fast, but sometimes you really have to approach the instrument in a way and find the way this instrument will answer you better.
Christophe Rousset. And for this next piece, he had to consider the tuning too. It's a suite by Purcell from the period before what's known as equal temperament. Now, that's a subject that can fill another entire early music show all on its own, if not two. So suffice to say, it's all to do with the minute but important difference between, for example, a G sharp and an A flat. If you're familiar with the keyboard, you'll know them as the same black note. And in fact, the modern piano is something of a compromise where tuning is concerned. In earlier times, though, the pitch needed to be adjusted depending on what key the piece was in. So, as you can hear, Rousset has been retuning the Barton harpsichord and is now ready to play Purcell's Suite in G minor.
Thank you.
Suite in G minor by Purcell, performed by Christoph Rousset on an English harpsichord by Thomas Barton, which dates roughly from Purcell's time. One of the highlights from the second of his two solo recitals given at this year's Edinburgh International Festival. These early keyboards changed and developed throughout the 17th and 18th centuries as new music was being written for them, as Rousset explains.
It's quite something to see in these recitals I will give in this festival on the original instruments. So there is Pinet dated end of 16th century going to the end, very end of 18th century. So you see really the development of the music according to an aesthetics. And obviously the music asks for kind of a specific instrument. And in the contrary, an instrument tells the composer how he should write for the instrument. So it's nice to see how it evolves and how the music, which is written in beginning of 17th century, is different, so much different of the middle of 18th century. And the aesthetics changing, so the aesthetics of sound also is changing. And that's a big trouble.
Big trouble for him, perhaps, but fascinating for us, because for our last two pieces today, Rousset plays the most famous harpsichord in the St. Cecilia collection. In fact, in the world, it was made by Pascal Tascan, harpsichord maker to Louis XVI, and it represents the very peak of the harpsichord era, the standard by which all other instruments are compared. It has two keyboards, three sets of strings, a full five-octave range, and can play loud and soft, anticipating the birth of the modern piano. We're going to hear the Tascan in two short pieces by the 18th-century French composer Claude Bénigne Balbâtre. The second is a lively jig entitled La Loujac. But first, to demonstrate the richness of the instrument's extended lower range, La Déricourt.
Thank you.
two pieces there by Claude Benin Balbâtre, La Dericourt and La Lugeac. And it ends that recital by the harpsichordist Christophe Rousset. It was recorded in St. Cecilia's Hall in Edinburgh last week. All the pieces we heard were performed on instruments housed in the Hall's Museum of Historical Instruments, the Russell Collection it's called. Today's early music show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and the producer was Alwyn Fisher. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM. We're on digital radio, and you can listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's 2 o'clock. Well, another chance now to hear Monday's Proms Chamber Music Concert from Cadogan Hall in London. It was presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello. Today we welcome to the stage 5 Radio 3 New Generation artists, the pianist Christian Ila Hadland and the Signum Quartet. Later they're going to join together to perform Brahms' F minor piano quintet, but we begin with a string quartet by Elizabeth McConkie. Born in England and raised in isolated rural Ireland, she was hungry to discover the latest developments in new music when she enrolled as a student at the Royal College in 1923, soon devouring works by Berg, Bartok and Janáček. She soon met Rayform Williams, who became her teacher. Meeting him, she said, was like turning on a light. Elizabeth McConkie has been described as the greatest ever English composer for strings, and the string quartet was a medium in which she was particularly happy. She wrote 13 quartets over her 87-year-long life. For her, the quartet was the perfect way to sum up musical ideas. She said the bad things show up: thinness of material, weakness of form, poor workmanship, but so do the good things: strength of ideas, masterly craftsmanship, resourceful string writing. In 1989, Dame Elizabeth, as she was by then, wrote this about the quartet: "The pursuit of the argument, its shaping into satisfying musical form, the cut and thrust of the counterpoint, these all stimulate the imagination and stretch the intellect. There lies the perpetual challenge of writing a string quartet. It requires the instinct, concentration, and skill of writing a sonnet with the excitement of driving a four in hand." Well, we're going to hear her third quartet, one continuously unfolding movement, just over 10 minutes long, written in 1938 for the New Hungarian Quartet, who gave it its premiere in London that year. Please welcome to the Proms the Signum Quartet. Elizabeth McConkie's third string quartet receiving its first performance at the Proms this afternoon. Her Proms debut was back in 1930 when a suite called The Land was performed. It got much acclaim and launched her professional career. The quartet played for us by the Signum Quartet, Kirsten Dill and Annette Walter violins, Zandi van Dijk viola and Thomas Schmitz cello. The German-based ensemble members of Radio 3's New Generation Artist Scheme, now in its 15th year and still bringing the best of emerging British and international classical and jazz talent to the airwaves and to the nation's